Well, good day, everybody. Welcome here to the Panic Podcast. It is the 27th of April in the year of our Lord, 2026. It is so good to have you with us. We are in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This is our Monday series, Paul's words of correction and counsel. I want to talk about the faithfulness of God. You know what that's all about? Do you know? When I say the word, the phrase, faithfulness of God, do you know what I'm referring to? We're going to find out today on the podcast, and we'll get started in just a second. I'll tell you, one of the great truths upon which the saints of God through the ages have depended has been the faithfulness and the reliability of our God. Faithfulness. That seems almost like an outdated, quaint relic from the past, especially in our society today, where marriages fall apart for any reason, contracts are broken all the time, and even our smartphones betray us. They take an update, and all of a sudden, our passwords are all over the place. And you got to ask yourself, can I trust anyone anymore? Can I trust anything anymore? Well, the answer is a resounding yes, and Paul shouts it from the rooftops of Corinth, and it echoes down the corridors of your own soul. You can trust God, because he's the God who never changes, never quits, and never fails. And that's our big topic for this morning on the big podcast. You guys wouldn't know it, but I actually had to pause the podcast a couple of minutes ago. I had a sneezing fit, and I've been blowing my nose ever since. My allergies are just, they're getting the best of me today, I'm afraid, but it's springtime here. I'd rather have my allergies than the snow. That's the honest truth. Well, let's read some scripture here this morning to get us started. I want to read two groups of verses. 1 Corinthians 1, 4 to 9, and then 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. So let's start off with 1 Corinthians 1, 4 to 9. I'm going to read from the Good News Translation. Paul says, I always give thanks to my God for you, you Corinthians, because of the grace he has given you through Christ Jesus. For in union with Christ, you've become rich in all things, including all speech and all knowledge. The message about Christ has become so firmly established in you that you have not failed to receive a single blessing as you wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end so that you'll be faultless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is to be trusted. The God who called you, to have fellowship with his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now let's go forward a bunch of chapters to chapter 4, and we'll read verses 1 and 2. You should think of us as Christ's servants who have been put in charge of God's secret truths. The one thing required of such servants is that they be faithful to their master. Paul wrote this letter to a large metropolitan church that was an absolute mess. It was divided. There was immorality all over the place. People were suing one another left and right. They were questioning established doctrines like the resurrection. And yet Paul begins the letter with sincere gratitude, and he ends his greetings with a thunderclap of assurance. God is faithful, or as the Good News Translation puts it, God is to be trusted. Paul emphasizes the reliable character of God, and he issues them a challenge to respond the right way to a trustworthy God with the same trust and faithfulness. And God makes three
great points that we're going to look at today. Three great affirmations that I hope will truly bless your heart. And if you take them to heart, your life will be changed. So for you note takers out there, because I know some of you take notes, and I know sometimes my teachings are the points are indiscernible. I apologize for that. Sometimes it's a stream of consciousness with me. But the first big point I want to make this morning is that you can trust the God who called you to salvation in the first place. Verse 9, God is to be trusted, or God is faithful. The God who called you to have fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The word called here, it is not a polite invitation. Like if I called you up and said, hey, you want to go for a coffee after work? It's not like that. In fact, it is the sovereign, effectual call of the Almighty God. Let me ask you a question. Did you know that before the world was created, God set his love on you? Ephesians 1:4, even before the world was made, God had already chosen us to be his through our union with Christ so that we would be holy and without fault before him. In eternity past, he wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then one day the Holy Spirit chased you down. He hounded you. He convicted you of sin. He opened your blind eyes and you responded and you believed. Look at that decision that you made was not an accident and it was not made by chance. That was the result of God calling you. And the text says that God, the God who called you, is trustworthy, or the God who called you is faithful. Now I want you to think about this. The same God who called Abraham out of a town called Ur kept his promise to give Abraham a massive family, a huge family, when the guy was 100 years old and his wife Sarah was barren and laughing in unbelief. And then Isaac was born. Genesis 21:1 and 2, the Lord blessed Sarah as he promised, and she became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham when he was old. The boy was born at the time God had said he would be born. The same God who called Moses from a burning bush of all things never left him alone in the desert to make his way by himself. Deuteronomy 7:9. Remember that the Lord your God is the only God, and that he is faithful. He will keep his covenant and show his constant love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and obey his commands. And the same God who called Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus turned this Pharisee and persecutor of Christians into the great apostle Paul. Acts 9:15, the Lord said to him, go because I have chosen Saul to serve me, to make my name known to the Gentiles and to kings and to the people of Israel. Look, if God was faithful to those guys and he never changes, then he's going to be faithful to you. Romans 8:30 lays it out like an unbroken chain. And so those whom God set apart, he called. And those he called, he put right with himself, and he shared his glory with them. There is no weak link in that chain. The God who called will justify or put right and will glorify. God doesn't start anything he can't or won't finish. Now, there are some Christians out there, maybe some of you, and they think things like this. But Mike, you don't know me. I've messed up big time. But I'm such a mess. I keep failing. I just don't feel saved. Maybe my salvation was never real. Listen to me. Listen to me closely. Your salvation never depended on the strength of your grip on God. Rather, it depends on the strength of His grip on you. It was Jesus who said in John, I think it's John 10:28, somewhere in there, "No one can snatch you out of my hand." Guess what? Your feelings will fluctuate all the time. Your performance may falter. But the God who called you never changes. Never. You know, Lamentations 3:22-23. It's funny how life works. That's a couple of verses that have popped up with weird regularity around the church this year. I don't know, maybe God's trying to tell us something, but listen to what they say. It's Lamentations 3:22-23. "The Lord's unfailing love and mercy still continue, fresh as the morning, as sure as the sunrise." Let me read that again. "The Lord's unfailing love and mercy still continue, fresh as the morning, as sure as the sunrise." I want you to know this. Every day, God wants you to know that He chose you. And I believe He would tell you this, "And I would choose you again." You know, 2 Timothy 2:13, it's a safety net for every one of you struggling in your salvation today. If we are not faithful, He remains faithful because He cannot be false to Himself. Is that not a great verse? If we are not faithful, He remains faithful because He cannot be false to Himself. God doesn't change. God doesn't lie. He's faithful. And so the next time doubt whispers in your ear, hey, maybe you're not really saved, you answer back with 1 Corinthians 1:9, "God is faithful. God called me. And He's not going to turn His back on me." You may turn your back on Him. That's what Paul said to Timothy. If we are not faithful, He remains faithful. You may turn your back on Him from time to time. We all do it, unfortunately. But He never turns His back on you. So the second point I want to make is this. You can trust the God who continues His plan for your salvation. You know that the same verse that began with the call, I mean, it just keeps on going. God is faithful who has called you. Now, I know that sounds like it's written in the past tense. God is faithful who has called you. But it's in the present tense. He keeps on calling you. It refers to an ongoing relationship. Now, I want to read verses 4-7. Again, 1 Corinthians 1:4-7. And I want you to notice, what God is doing to this mixed up congregation. "I always give thanks to my God for you, you mixed up Christians, you, because of the grace He has given you through Christ Jesus." Now listen to this. Verse 5, "For in union with Christ, you have become rich in all things, including all speech and knowledge." Listen to this. "The message about Christ has become so firmly established in you that you have not failed to receive a single blessing as you wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed." That's God's continuing work in Christians. He makes you rich in all things, including all speech and all knowledge. You have not failed to receive a single blessing. That's God's continuing work of sanctification in your life. God didn't call you to get saved and then say, "Well, good luck from here on in, brother." No, God keeps on working in you. God enriches you. He equips you. He confirms His word in you. And He gives you every spiritual gift you will ever need. 1 Corinthians 5:24 puts it in one all-powerful verse. "He who calls you will do it. Because He is faithful." Do what? Do what? God will do whatever it takes to make you more like his son. How about this? This verse right here is Philippians 2:13. This verse is like a lifeline for people like me. I will confess to you right now that I have had a lifelong problem with authority. I absolutely hate being told what to do. I hate it. I didn't like it when my parents told me what to do. I don't like it when the government tells me what to do. I don't like being told what to do. Sadly, this also applies to God from time to time. But Philippians 2:13 is a lifeline for me. Listen, God is always at work in you to make you willing and able to obey his own purpose. Is that not a great verse? God is always, that means continually, never stops. God is always at work in you to make you willing and able to obey his own purpose. Man, I love that verse. It saves my life. God is not a spectator. God is the active agent inside of your heart, stirring up holy desires, giving you the ability to obey his will and his word, and convicting you when you don't. One more verse to drive home the point. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold firmly to the hope we profess, because we can trust God to keep his promise. Look, the Christian life is not a self-help program. It's a divine work program. It's God working in you. God started it, and he keeps it going. Can you remember the sin you used to love to get into that no longer has any appeal to you? That's God continuing his work. Do you remember the fruit of the Spirit? We spent weeks looking at love, joy, peace, and all that fruit of the Spirit. It's slowly growing in your life. You didn't have it a few years ago, did you? But you do now. That's God continuing his work in you. Even when you feel stuck in your Christian walk, even when you occasionally fall back into your old bad habits, 1 John 1:9 is still true. If we confess our sins to God, he will keep his promise and do what is right. He will forgive our sins and purify us from all our wrongdoing. You can trust the God who continues his work in you. Look, he's never left a single sheep half sheared. What God starts, he finishes every time. Thirdly, you can trust God to complete his work of salvation. God saved you, but that's not the end of your salvation. 1 Corinthians 1:8-9. He will keep you steadfast in the faith to the end, so that when his day comes, when Jesus comes back and, you know, you stand before him in judgment, you need fear no condemnation. God is utterly dependable, and it is he who has called you into fellowship with his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is such a tremendous promise. He will keep you to the end. He will keep you to the end. Keep you, that comes from a Greek word. It looks funny and it sounds even funnier. Bibeos, and it means steadfast, secure, unshakable. God himself is holding you steadfast, secure, unshakable, steady, until that last day. I think that back in Philippians, that's such a great letter, isn't it? Someday we're going to do a deep dive study of Philippians, but Philippians 1:6, that should be your life verse. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You can be confident of that. That's what Paul says. He who began a good work in you, he who saved you, will carry it on to completion. You have been saved. A lot of you can probably look back, and almost to the day when you got saved, when you decided it was time to take your relationship with God seriously. You were saved, but you are continuing to be saved every day. And when the Lord Jesus returns, you will be saved. Three phases of your salvation. From the first moment of your calling to the last moment of glorification, God is on the job, working in you. How about this, Jude? One of the shortest, I think Philemon might be the shortest book in the New Testament, but Jude is really short too. He gives us the grand finale. Listen to these two verses. It's only one chapter, but listen to these two verses. It's one of the great doxologies in the Bible. Every word is sermon worthy. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Did you catch that? To him who is able to keep you from stumbling, point one, and to present you before his glorious presence, point two, without fault, point three, and with great joy, point four. Isn't it nice to know that God isn't going to bring you to heaven half fixed? He's going to present you faultless, spotless, blameless, absolutely perfect in Christ Jesus. You know, on that great day, when everything hidden is exposed, you will stand before the great judge of the universe, and you're not going to hear, not guilty. You're going to hear, well done. Why? Because the blood of Jesus has already paid your debt. And the faithfulness of God has kept you not guilty to the end. Do you understand that? Are you catching a glimpse of what the faithfulness of God really means? Again, Romans 8:30 seals the deal once and for all. Those he justified, he also glorified. Your eventual glorification in the presence of God Almighty is not a possibility. It is a divine guarantee. I mean, think about it. The God who called you out of darkness, who is right now changing you from glory to glory, will one day raise your body from the grave, give you a new name, wipe away all your tears, and give you a seat at the marriage supper of the Lamb. He will do this not because you deserve it, because you merit it. He will do it because he is faithful. No grave is too deep, no sin is too dark, no weakness is too great. The faithfulness of God overcomes every single obstacle. Now, I began today with 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. Because God is faithful, he has entrusted you and me with the mysteries of the gospel. We have his word. And it is required in stewards, you and me, that they be found faithful too. The only reasonable response to a faithful God is a faithful life. Not a perfect one. None of us can claim that. But perseverance. Keep trusting God. Keep obeying God. Keep serving God. Keep loving. Because the God who called you continues to work in you and will complete you. And he is worthy of our full devotion. Now, it may be that you're a believer, but you've been wavering a little bit in your faith. Maybe you've been struggling with some doubt. I want you to hear the promise again. God is faithful. He can be trusted. He is keeping you. He will finish you. You can take this to the bank. Well, it's 26 minutes past the hour. It's time to call it a day here on the podcast. Thank you for listening, and thank you for giving me 26 minutes of your time. I hope you got the message this morning. It's a powerful one. God is just so faithful. We'll be back, Lord willing, on Wednesday. We're going to be back in the book of Daniel, the first half of the book of Daniel on Wednesday. So come on back then. Till then, have a great day today. It's going to be a beautiful day here in Wise County, but we've got some wet, dreary kind of wet weather moving in for the middle of the week. Kind of cool. But hey, the blackberries are in bloom around here. The dogwoods are in bloom. So, you know, I think our mini winters are almost over. Praise God for that. Summer's going to be in full swing and pretty soon. But have a great rest of the day today. God bless you. Thank you again for spending some time with me. We'll talk again real soon.